All right, welcome to the Recruit Grind. I found out some things last night with our guest that we have on right now. And before I posted something late last night on Sunday, which I always do, I didn't. I chose to hold off because of this particular guest and everything that he's going through. So that's a quick sorry to everybody who was expecting an episode early this morning but didn't get one. I have to also admit that I was somewhat selfish because I was traveling late yesterday and I was exhausted last night. But it worked out exactly how it's supposed to because this is an incredible story. We have Ryder McGillivray, who has been on the podcast before, episode 20. If you go back, he shares a pretty amazing journey that he went through from a recruiting standpoint, where he talks about going through from Provo High School and getting on as a walk-on at Utah State University. But a lot has happened since then. Don't you think, Ryder?
Yeah, a lot has happened.
And it's incredible. It really is cool. I would love for you, before I dive into anything else, I would love for you to bring everybody up to speed to where you're at now.
Go ahead. Yeah, I think we talked about how it was probably like a year ago that I was on the podcast, episode 20.
Yep.
Since then, we went through another season, and that season as a team was pretty average, but we worked hard and we still, you know, fought through adversity and saw the field a lot. Not as much as I wanted to offensively wise, but special teams, we were on there. Yeah. And then going into winter workouts was awarded a scholarship, which was what we talked about. Yeah. Is a blessing, and I'm very thankful for Coach A and giving me that opportunity.
Yeah.
From there, winter workouts went great, killed it, and then getting to spring ball, we had a really good spring. I would say I was playing in the slot, and the slot battle was everyday competition, and it was very fun to watch everyone improve from a receiver standpoint and even as a team. Then after spring, just had to have some tough conversations, and as of today, we just hit the transfer portal with 2 years left.
The transfer portal. So this is extremely unique. Two years to play. Here's a question. I'm gonna have a couple questions as you talk through that a little bit. So you said you had a battle on the field for the slot position, right?
Yeah.
And then you also talked a little bit about the weight room. So the battle for the slot position, who were you battling against?
I was going against, his name's Kyrese Rowan. He's actually my roommate. He's a really good dude.
Okay.
And originally played at Utah. And when he had about two years of eligibility left there, he decided to hit the portal and ended up at Utah State, and one of the fastest, twitchiest dudes I think I'll ever meet. And I mean, both of our style of gameplay is very different, and the battle was great. And obviously he came out on top with his last year, and I respect him for that and still love the dude to death. But yeah,
that's cool. That is true teammate right there, man. I can appreciate that a lot, and battling it out. I know in some cases you might, you know, think that gets bitter, but in your situation where you keep that friendship, that's huge. So yeah. Kudos to you on that one. Now, you talked about killing it in the weight room. What does killing it in the weight room look like for you? Like, did you guys do maxes? Did you guys do stuff like that? What did that look like for you?
I would just say our conditioning is just difficult. We do a lot of really hard conditioning. I don't even know if it's even football. It's not football related, but I would say it's more to push you mentally.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what they preach at Utah State. Look, we're not going to be the most talented, but we're going to hit the hardest, we're going to run the fastest, and we're never going to stop, you know?
Yeah.
Which I love. Yeah, I mean, running, conditioning was hard. Weight room's always tough. We don't really max that much, but we get close. And I obviously was like, this is a time for me. I've never been able to put on weight. I wanted to try to put as much weight on as I could.
Yeah.
And protein, just get it all in and see what I could do. And this year, you know, I gained weight, which I haven't been able to do in a while. I've seen my body change a lot. So,
yeah.
But
that's positive. That's awesome, man. That's really cool. Do you, You also mentioned too, and this is probably where things get a little bit more difficult to talk through, but some of the conversations towards, you know, the end of spring ball that you kind of spoke through. I mean, those are recent wounds, right? That's a,
yes.
I don't want to say wounds necessarily because it's been positive in there too, but what were some of those conversations like? And, you don't have to share anything you don't feel comfortable sharing, but kind of talk us through that a little bit.
I mean, we all have an exit interview, you know, before we go home for summer, and you know, we have a long break right now. So just the exit interview, talking with my coach, it seemed like, you know, we love you having here. I see you as a role player, but there's nothing wrong with role players. And I think that I could have been a great one. And then it was, I want to find out if your scholarship will keep going on.
Yeah.
If, you know, and that's something we have to talk to the head coach about, because that's not my, you know, responsibility, and I don't take care of those, but yeah. Let's talk with that. And then we, you know, try to get it set up, and I just ended up going and meeting with the head coach, and he said, hey, look, Ryder, like there's a good chance that you can have that scholarship in the fall, you know, and keep it going, but you're just going to be, you know, I see you as a role player here, and I'll quote him on this. He said, you're a utility knife. You know, you can play every spot, and you're probably a three in behind the slot, the R and the L. You know, you can play every position, but I don't know if you'll be guaranteed that scholarship in the fall. And for me, that's hard because I would love to be a role player for Utah State, but I also just want to be able to play football, you know, and be able to put everything I can into the sport, you know, put it out on the field, and I want to go contribute to a team. Not saying I wouldn't contribute here. It was just, it would have had to take some things to fall into place for me to be there. And in my eyes, I felt like hitting the portal was the best option for me to be able to go to a school and be hopefully the guy, or compete to be the guy at that school.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense. And I think it's unique the way you say it, and I think you're being kind the way you say it, but like things that have to fall into place, like the reality of it is usually one of those things that would have to fall into place is somebody getting injured. And it's like, it's in some cases it almost feels like an inevitable, but it's not. It's you have no clue like what to expect, and you can't expect to, I don't know. It's like, you don't want to wait for someone to get hurt. You know what I mean? That's kind of like you don't want that type of burden on someone, or some type of, you know, omen, I should say, on someone. That's not right. So, I think that's respectable the way that decision was made. I think that you can even find some potential frustrations, but I love how you carry yourself. I mean, you've shown nothing but respect towards the program, respect towards Coach Anderson, which he's in a pretty difficult place himself, regards to not just, I mean, he's put it out there personally too, having lost a brother. I mean, that's a lot, man. That guy's been through a lot in his life, and that program's going through a lot too. So, the fact that he was so honest is something that I'm also very respectful to as well. Like, he didn't lead you on. He told you straight out. Yeah. And here you are, man. Now you're going into the portal. And I think a question that a lot of people have that isn't a whole lot of, like, there's not a whole lot of clarity behind what the portal, like going into the portal, looks like, is obviously you had those conversations and today you decided, hey, this is the day I'm going to go in. What did that look like? How did you actually go into the portal? What was the process?
So I guess I'll just tell you about, I guess, my day. I mean, I just woke up and went into Coach Cephalo's office and asked to talk with him, and, you know, just said, hey, I think the best thing for my career is to probably hit the portal. And I mean, it's just hard conversations, you know.
Yeah.
And I, like I said, I appreciate that. Like, Coach Seth with so much, he taught me so much things, not like even in life scenarios, just the way that he is as a man showed me like how I want to be, you know, in the future.
Yeah.
And how he handled it, I I really respect him for that. And then after talking with him, went to Coach A, and I'll never forget opening that door with Coach Steph and him saying, "You're not leaving me, are you?" And having to tell him, like, yeah, I think the best thing for me is to leave, and him just giving me a huge hug and telling him that, you know, I'm going to go play somewhere. Like, it's not over for me and stuff. And after having that conversation with him, headed upstairs, went and talked to our compliance guy, filled out some paperwork, and then I got to watch like a 10-15 minute video just explaining the risks that you're taking, because like I said, it's not the portal can be sometimes not good for people.
No guarantees,
and that's what it's going to explain to you, and that's something Coach A is very, you know, will let you know about, like, dude, look, there's 6,000 people in the portal and there's not 6,000 spots out there, you know.
Yep.
So, but he, like I said, he supported me. Coach Steph supported me. The whole coaching staff. It was very hard to say goodbye, and it was very emotional. But yeah, after meeting with Tony and getting the paperwork filled out, watching the video, and getting everything submitted, that's really all it took. And it shows you the risks involved, and if you're really willing to take those, then you're locked in.
Yeah, dude, that's a. Yeah, I'm sure too, just around the building. I know it's unique because we had some conversations leading into it. And I think the thing that kind of sticks with me is this isn't your standard, like, hey, some kid's frustrated with the program and the situation that he's in. He's mad at people, and so he chooses to leave. Like, this is, to me, completely different, where, like, it's, hey, at the end of the day, you want somewhere where you're going to play and be on the field constantly contributing, you know, practice after practice, game after game. And it's not that you weren't contributing, just like you said, it's an opportunity to just really shine and, like, showcase your skills at the number one position. And knowing that that wasn't going to happen, it's like, hey, no, it's just unique. But when we were talking about it, and in particular, like, where you were, you mentioned how there was a lot of people in the building that were, in your corner, I could say, people that, you know, held you in really high regard. Like, who are some of those people, and what were some of those conversations like when you told them that you were out?
I mean, honestly, I don't think there was anyone that wasn't in my corner. I mean, I went and I wanted to make sure that I said bye to everyone, because like I said, that building and those people mean so much to me. I went to every athletic trainer saying thank you. I went to every strength staff guy. I went to, you know, the equipment people were probably the hardest people to say bye to. And I'm not grateful, but I am grateful that the most of the team wasn't even in there. Cause I think if I would have had to say bye to a lot of those guys in person, it would have been way, way harder. But everyone that I've talked to, and even coaches that knew that I was, were, send me the film right now. I'm going to start talking to people right away, because you can go be a baller, you know?
Yeah.
So
that's amazing. And it's cool too. And I think you, if I remember correctly, that's, you know, part of the equation for you, at least, that kind of led into you making this decision, is you had multiple coaches that were like, dude, I know that you would be like a starter elsewhere. Like, I know that if you went to whatever school or whatever program, you'd be a starter there, hands down, right?
Yeah.
I love that, man. Well, in reminiscing a little bit about your times at Utah State, like, what would you say are some of the biggest things that you learned just during your time there?
I mean, one thing that comes off, like, just the top of my head, is you don't realize the relationships you have with people, you know, until you're finally leaving. You know, I'll never forget, like, everyone in that locker room. And I'll never, there's people that I didn't really even talk to a lot. And I mean, I'll just bring it up. I was saying bye to all the athletic trainers, you know, pretty emotional, because I'm an emotional guy.
Yeah.
But seeing, you know, one of our best linebackers, Anthony Switzer, you know, and he was in that building, and me and Switz haven't talked a lot. I mean, there's no bad blood. We're brothers, I would say, and seeing him and just giving him a hug and him saying like, dude, like you're gonna go do it somewhere, you know, like you're gonna be a guy. And like that means a lot. Like this is a guy that is the probably one of the top linebackers in the Mountain West. And he's saying, I've lined up against people and like you're gonna kill it somewhere. And I'm happy to see that you believe in yourself and that you can see that you're gonna go, you know, play somewhere.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know that he just hit the portal right after me, but that still meant a lot to me that we weren't super close. We didn't hang out outside the building, but those words from encouragement from a guy who you think doesn't even notice you.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It just meant a lot to me.
That's incredible. It should. That's incredible. That's actually a really cool story. Yeah. I think we all have those types of teammates over the years, and for one to actually speak up and talk to you, that's cool, man. I can respect that a lot. So he hit it today too, though, you said?
Yeah. I mean, I don't, like I said, I don't know their reasons, but.
Nope. No need to talk about it.
I just remember the last conversation I had with him, and I hope that it's not the last conversation. I want to keep in touch with him and stuff like that and see where his career goes. Cause he's obviously going to have a long career. So.
Yeah. Good dude. Oh man. That's awesome. Well, it's unique. I've been chatting with you throughout the day on some of the stuff that's been happening, ever since you did go into the portal, but talk us through it. Like what happened as soon as you went in and kind of talk us through to what's going on now.
I mean, as soon as I left the building, I mean, cleaning out my locker was hard, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And like I said, I'm just an emotional person, so I'm having a hard time. Yeah. I left the building and I honestly was like, I'm just going to go for a drive. Went for a drive, called my parents, and I've never seen my dad emotional, but he was. And he was just like, I know this is hard, but it's the right thing, you know?
Yeah.
And we're going to come out on a different end. And it's going to be worth it. And that was something, you know, it was just hard. And then
more emotions, man, more emotions.
More emotions. And then, you know, I've been driving for about 40 minutes just talking to both my mom and dad on that merged call, and looked down at my phone and it's just blown up, you know, with teammates saying, dude, like, I wish you didn't have to. Bach, I love you. I know you're going to be the best. Yeah. This, that. And then Twitter coaches everywhere, you know, from schools that, you know, I may have heard of and schools that I've never heard of before.
Yeah.
But it was in the first hour, I guess, of hitting the portal, was at least 12, you know?
Yeah.
And that's when I'm like, oh, I gotta start sending out my film and showing these guys what I can do, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. And we're gonna watch a couple of those clips too. But but that's awesome. But can you name some of those programs that started reaching out?
Utah Tech, Northern Colorado.
And some of them, even the ones following you too, right? Like,
yes, there was Montana State.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. Tulane's recruiting coordinator followed me, I think. Then UTEP's offensive coordinator followed me, I believe, or maybe their recruiting analyst. And then some D2 schools, a lot of them.
Yeah.
I can't name them off the top of my head, but I just have heard a lot from him. So, yeah.
So I mean, it's not in vain. Obviously you got some guys interested. That's super cool.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think that's unique too, because when you hop in the portal, I'm assuming it's just like, you have this gut, like wrenching feeling. It's like, dude, who knows what's going to happen? I'm assuming you have a little bit of relief knowing that some coaches actually reaching out.
Yeah. I think after having conversations with my own coaches, it showed me like, look, this is not your last spring ball. Like you're going to go, you're not done playing football. We're going to find you a place. And having that encouragement from them made me feel better, even though I didn't want to leave them, you know, more that it's best for me and my career.
Yeah.
And then obviously Twitter and all these coaches following you, it's like, yeah, I'm really not done. Like, I know it.
Yeah. Dude, well, let me ask you this. And I think this is, I feel like I could preach about you for days, especially off of our last episode that we did. But I want you to talk to as if I'm the coach or the audience, the coach. Like, what does a program have to look forward to with you potentially being part of their whole getup?
I would just say commitment, effort. I'm a guy that, and this is what I told every coach, like, look, I'm not in it for the money. I'm not in it for the fame. I just want to play football. Like, I'm a guy that loves practice. I'm a guy that loves to be in the film room. I love to just play football, and that's what you're going to get from me. And I also just don't, I'm not going to go make myself look stupid on the field. So I want to be the best person out there. So you're going to get 100% effort on every play, whether that's I'm getting the ball or I'm not. And that's what I've told everyone is I just want to play football. I want to go and use these last 2 years that I have and be with a program that's going to be like, where did this kid come from? You know?
Yeah.
So.
Dude, and I'll echo that because I've heard some of the coaches there at Utah State. I still know some of them, and they have said the same thing, that this dude Ryder here goes all out in practice. Even when he's not supposed to be going 100%, he's still going 100%. And just doing unbelievable stuff during practice and even on the game field too, man. So kudos there. And I actually, just in closing, before we close it out, let's watch a couple of them. Are you okay with that?
Okay. Yeah, let's do it.
Let's watch. Let's watch a couple. There's one in particular that I really want to watch, but and this is coming. Well, tell me too, where can these coaches and where can people watch your film if they wanted to watch it?
So it's in my Instagram and my Twitter bio. RyderMac1 is my Instagram, and then RyderMacGillivOne, weird username, but that's in my X or Twitter bio as well. You can also go on Athletes TV and look up my username, RyderMac1, and it's on there too. So Athletes TV is where you're going to find it, but those are also easy accessible ways to find my social media accounts. So.
Oh man. Well, Riverside is going to make me do my preferences, which just because I download, it's not going to let me share the screen, but I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to pull it up after the fact. Anyway, there's one play in particular that I want you to talk through. And there's, like I said, you could talk through all of them. I know, but this is from a while ago and it's like the second to last clip on your film. And it's a scout team clip, but it's an incredible clip because you already know. Just talk through it.
I think it will be a play that I'll never forget. And I think we kind of talked about it on the podcast before.
Yeah.
But
now people get to see it. Now people get to see it.
Yes. People get to see it. So you got to go watch the film now. but my freshman year, obviously I joined the team right after they had played their first game. So I'm not going to be on travel squad or anything. So I was on scout team. And I'll never forget my scout quarterback, Josh Calvin. And he loved to just throw the fade ball. No matter what it was, what the read was, he was just going to throw the fade because he just wanted to throw it far. So, and he just loved throwing me the ball. So I'll never forget. I think it was just a regular fade. I threw it and I'm going against probably the fastest corner that we have. And obviously he's just going to be right there. He couldn't turn his eyes to see the ball, but I jumped up for it and it was short. So I just decided, like, all right, I'm just going to try to basically squeeze this ball instead of trying to like catch it. I squeezed it and all of a sudden it was just stuck on the back of his head. And I caught it and it was pretty far down the field where we were kind of in the offensive, you know, the offense's way where everyone kind of like turned and looked and you could see it on the film. They're like, dude, what's going on? Because I just hugged it. And I was like, I'm walking out of bounds because this was a game. It's going to count. So I walked him out of bounds. And I was like, no, I don't want to give up this ball. You know, like, I'm just going to keep holding it. And then, you know, it was me and Cam. That's who I was going against, Cam Lampkin. And we just started laughing. He was trying to punch the ball from behind his head. He wanted me to drop it. But I don't know. I'll never forget. You watch the film. You can see. Maybe you can see. I don't know if you can, but the defensive coordinator, I think he like puts his hands up and then he's like confused. Like, what is going on right now? And just that reaction alone is just awesome. So
That's incredible, man. Well, you talked about it, the teammates and the moments that you'll always remember there at Utah State. And I mean, I can speak for you too, for any coaches that have any type of, you know, question on Ryder's resolve. The dude is an absolute rock star. I mean, even academically, I'm willing to bet that you've just absolutely killed it academically as well.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We've had some struggles in some classes, but we're not like failing. So
join the club, man. I don't know a lot of people that can get through everything without having some struggles. So,
yeah.
But long story short though, you're eligible for a transfer there from that standpoint. I mean, what are you majoring in?
Sociology.
Sociology. So, which is, I think that's a pretty transferable degree wherever you might end up going. So, that's fantastic. Dude, Ryder, man, anything else that you want to add for any of the coaches that might come on to watch or people that want to watch?
I mean, if you want to look at the film and take a shot, there's nothing wrong with just looking. So, yeah. I don't know. I'm going to give 100% effort no matter what it is, whether it's in the classroom or on the field or just in life. So,
yeah, man. Dude, Ryder, you rock. You guys, make sure you go check him out. Check out his social media. Make sure you go check out the film. It's Resting Nice and Simply on Athletes TV, and it is an absolute, it's a blast to watch. I mean, all the clips that he has in there, it's exciting. Every single play, you're kind of enthralled the entire time you watch it. So go check it out. And Ryder, man, you're awesome. I wish you the best. And, dude, much love, man.
Yeah, thank you, Naki. Thank you for having me on the podcast again. It was a fun one.
Pleasure's mine.